Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Now, what's going to happen in Indy? Because unfortunately, it's a worst kind of case scenario situation for the quarterback there. Good morning. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin here, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. My name is Shea Cornett, filling in for the dudes this morning, as is Bart Scott over there.
We're the dudes.
Both doubling up on coffee today. You know, it's Tuesday. It's what happens.
Hey, Keyshawn is, I think he's coming over the Atlantic right now. You know what I'm saying? He's like Santa Claus. He's coming back Thursday, baby.
Keep drinking that coffee, Bart. All right. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. I mentioned it. The Colts, basically yesterday, you and I were up here talking about what was kind of going to be the worst case scenario for Carson Wentz, and I think this might be right around where that is. So yesterday, Frank Reich, the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts, made the announcement that, yes, Carson Wentz indeed does need surgery. He is going to be out anywhere from 5 to 12 weeks. Now, I know that is a very large span.
Right.
And if you look at their schedule, the Colts' first five games, it's the hardest in the NFL. And so as we approach training camp, or I'm sorry, we're already in training camp, as we approach what is coming up here in terms of the Hall of Fame game and preseason games, and soon in a month, we're going to be underway with the regular season. This is not a good situation, not at all. Frank Wright said there was a loose, broken bone in Wentz's foot, an old injury, possibly from high school, and they need to address this. He needs to have surgery to get it taken care of. And so this is now Jacob Eason's job. More on that in a minute, but first, let's hear from the head coach of the Colts, Frank Wright, on his thoughts on Carson Wentz.
Just knowing Carson, I'm optimistic. You know, knowing that this is a type of injury you don't have to be pain-free to play in. And I know Carson's level of toughness. I know he can play with pain. So, you know, you have with this injury, from listening to the doctors, you have to get to an acceptable level of pain, and then you can start playing. So that could happen early, and if you decide he can play, and then just it keeps getting better as we go, but play for a few weeks with that pain. So, and then best case, though, is the pain leaves early. So that's the reason for the optimism.
Ugh, I feel for Frank Reich. Look, he put all his eggs in Carson Wentz's basket, and then this is what happens. I mean, yesterday during that press conference, he looked like he was about to cry half the time, and I felt for him. I really did. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Bart, what say you?
I mean, that's the craziness, right, when you think about it. Who knew that Carson Wentz really was Elijah Price from Unbreakable, right? Who knew that's what he was? I mean, because this guy is always injured. He's Mr. Glass. And, you know, you talk about, you know, when I listen to what Frank Wright is saying, basically, he's putting the onus right on Carson Wentz. And this is the problem. I think he may potentially could force him back too early, because if they lose, you know, if they lose those first five games, then it's panic mode, right? Because it's like no team ever went to the playoffs when they started 0-5, and I think one team came close, or maybe one did. I don't know. Don't at me, please, people. But when you start saying things like, well, acceptable level of pain and tolerance and stuff like that, now you put it at the player. You put it at the player's foot, because now at what point is he going to feel like, man, I have to get back to try and secure that I can, you know, prove to the fan base that I'm not a quitter, that I'm a tough guy, and then risk getting it hurt again, right? So you talk about 5 to 12 weeks. No, let's just say if it's somewhere in the middle, right? Let's just say if it's 2 months, right? Sounds like my mechanic, right? When I drop off his car and I ask him like, when is it going to be ready? Yeah, could be ready soon, could be ready late. And it's always something usually late. But, you know, putting the pressure on Carson with the fact that he's going to have to try and say acceptable pain tolerance, that's where you get into a slippery slope, right? Because that's where you get into the world of painkillers, and you get into the world of injections, and you get into the world of, you know what I mean, trying to manage pain. And that's a place where athletes shouldn't have to be. But Frank Wright just put the onus and the pressure right, you know, squarely on the shoulders or the feet. At the feet of Carson Wentz.
And, I mean, I'm just throwing out the obvious here. Opposing defenses knowing you're banged up a little bit and knowing that you are playing through pain, I'm sure not a good thing.
Yeah, and they going to set you on fire, right? So what they're going to say is, okay, well, we know that he wants to stay in the pocket. They may be going to try and protect him from himself, going to do short throws, screen passes, bubble passes, lean on. Just his presence alone is better than what we have in Eason. So if I'm a defensive coordinator, I'm going with A-gap blitzes. I'm going with interior blitzes to get him off his spot, to make him have to move. And, you know, this is his plant foot. If it's his right foot, it's his plant foot. And that's the foot that's going to take the bulk of the torque from him stepping back five steps, seven-step drop. you know, being able to try and throw the ball early, loading up, does it change his mechanics? And then you start getting the compensation. So it's important that, you know, they make sure that if they're going to lose any game or they're going to win any game, it has to be that Tennessee Titans game. You have to win that game because out of all the games that matter the most, it's the one within the division that counts the most, right? Okay. So if you can get that Titans game, at least you know they can't run away from you too far. They hopefully can still be in striking distance. And maybe, just maybe, you can find a way to win one of those other games based on running the ball in defense. But I don't know if you have to, if you can stay pat with these guys that you have behind the center. I think they're going to have to go out and make a move. And the obvious move, right, and you can see Tricky Nicky out there already planting the seeds. Well, I'm a lot better now than I was when I won the Super Bowl. Hold on, you mean you're the third string quarterback for the Chicago Bears, but you're better than when you won the Super Bowl? Like, come on, really? Like, really? Like who you trying? Yeah, okay, I got some oceanfront property in Wyoming, too, to sell to you. Like, come on, Tricky Nicky.
Speaking of Nick Foles, why don't we hear from him? Yesterday, all three quarterbacks for the Bears spoke, and one of those was Nick Foles, all three, because he is the third stringer at this point in Chicago, and he had, let's just say, a passionate answer about Frank Reich and playing for the Colts.
Listen, Frank Reich is one of my favorite, if not favorite, coaches of all time. He understands me as a player. He understands me as a person. But, you know, right, I haven't had any talks with him. I don't know. I'm a Chicago Bear right now. He knows me. He understands. I mean, y'all watched the 2017 season in the playoffs where he changed the offense and built it around me, and y'all saw what happened. So he understood my mentality as a player, and he was able to build it around me and put me in a successful position and my teammates. But that being said, they have Carson. And Carson and I have a lot of history. I have a lot of respect for Carson. He's a tremendous player. He's going through adversity once again, but he'll bounce back. And you know what? He might miss a few games, but I know he'll be back out there. But we haven't had any talks. So right now I'm a Chicago Bear, and I'm going to keep slinging with these third stringers, and we're going to dice them up.
Okay, a few things that Bart said that I want to build off of. First of all, when you listen to Nick Foles talk, the one thing that stood out to me about everything he just said is Carson and I have history. Correct, you yeah. do. Also, next thing that stood out, how much he loves and adores Frank Reich, and he feels like he does the best things in his offense to fit Nick Foles' game. Okay, so those are two things. Second of all, you mentioned him having issues staying upright, okay? And when opposing defenses know that you aren't 100%, like they're going to know if Carson Wentz does come back too early, then what are they going to do? They're going to go after him. And what did Carson Wentz do last year? I think if he wasn't first, he was second in 50, sacks.
50 sacks.
I mean, he had issues staying upright, and that is just the fact. The first five games we've talked about now, you said the Tennessee Titans is the most important there. Yeah. First five games, four to the five are games against playoff teams from last year. All five teams in those first five games had double-digit wins last year. These are just the facts. That's the Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. And so, when you think about what the Colts are going to do now,
yeah.
now what do they have to do? Well, they need to turn all their attention on over to Mr. Jacob Eason. Once again, here's Frank Reich.
And
Frank Reich on.
We're very confident in the quarterback room that we have. You know, love Jacob. He's, you know, I think he's making good progress. You know, it's all, these reps are invaluable. So I had a good conversation with Jacob yesterday. Hey, man, it's your show. Let's go. You know, and you got it. He has to prepare like he's starting week one. And we don't know if that'll happen or not, but he's got to get ready. And we're going to trust him in that process and support him and get behind him and just help him to continue to get better. He's got the right mindset.
All right, Jacob Eason, spent his 2019 year at Washington. He is clearly not ready to be a full-time starter in the NFL. He's young. He's new. He didn't take an NFL snap last year. However, this now becomes his job. You know who you were getting when you drafted Jacob Eason, and so now, you know, you got to figure out a way to become the starting quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts.
Man, I mean, come on, man. Like, I did what's his name? Kine from Arizona. Where's Kine when
Steve
we Kine. Yeah, where's Steve Kine when we need him? Like, listen, Eason, you got no shot in hell in starting. Son, you're not ready. We're not gonna put you out there. This is a team that has aspirations to be at least a division winner.
No. Oh,
they're
the
all
bare
in.
Minimum.
Yeah, they're all in. Like, there's no way you're going with Eason. You need some experience, because if you go with a limited playbook that you will have with a Jacob Eason against those teams. Like, against those, okay, the Rams, number one defense in the league last year. Okay, the Ravens, right? The much improved Miami Dolphins defense. Like, come on, man, who are you fooling? Like, at some point, you got to have that real conversation that, you know, somebody, you know, the third quarterback on the roster is going to be gone. Eason, you're going to be holding a clipboard. You know what I mean? You're going to be the backup.
Yeah, it's. Yeah.
It's like it's like keep, when Keeping It Real goes wrong. If that ain't coach speak 101, it's his job. Yeah, his job for the next 2 days before you figure out a way how to make a trade and give up a 6th and a 7th for Nick Foles. And we all know Nick Foles is gonna get cut anyway. You don't pay a backup quarterback, you know, that type of money, right? You don't pay him $5 million a year to hold. You talk about the second string guy, the third string guy. Come on, man. So, like, we all know where this is going, and Eason knows where it's going to, you know, and eventually he's going to be supplanted by Nick Foles, and they're going to be in there doing Philly special. I just hope that they don't put a statue outside of St. Elmo's, you know, so Carson Wentz have to walk through that. I mean, you talk about living in the shadow of Philly. Now he's going to have to deal with the Elmo special, you know, something
the
like that.
Elmo special. All right, we'll get more into this, but I will say it doesn't help for Jacob Eason that all of the reports, especially from our Colts reporter Mike Wells, is that he's been wildly inconsistent at training camps, throwing picks and all the rest.
Yeah,
I know there's
garbage.
Some growing pains, but that doesn't help the situation. All right, one team that was just in the NBA Finals 1 year ago has made a huge splash to kick off NBA free agency, while the team that beat them is trying to bring everybody back. NBA free agency is next after Bart has this.
Every move we make pushes us forward, whether it's on the track, the court, or the field. Movement is how we make our impression on the world. It's part of who we are. And when we pursue it with everything we've got, it shows us who we'll become. Every move we make, every road we choose to go down, every mile marker we pass takes us to a new place and shows the world how far we can go. Goodyear, more driven.
Miami Heat, one of the busier teams in the first day and night of NBA free agency.
Miami's not a bad city to be in.
No! Kyle Lowry will be involved in a sign and trade to Miami.
This is an on and off the court great pickup.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Kyle Lowry to Miami. Here we go.
I feel like the champ already. I'm a winner. I can feel it when I step up in the building. Man, they know I'm finna kill it. Yeah. Making moves for the touch spot. Ball with no limit.
NBA free agency is a fun place, and if you at all walked away from your phone yesterday, perhaps you came back to a boatload of alerts like I did.
Yeah, I had no idea who the hell they was talking about.
It was all over the place, but we expected it, right? Free agency started last night at 6 p.m. Eastern, and per usual, the chips were falling. Yesterday, we had Brian Windhorst on the show earlier, obviously, in the morning, because that's when the show is, and he said to us, this free agency is all but done, and it truly felt like that. Like, once the clock struck six, I mean, the dominoes were falling, and they were falling fast. This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Bart Scott, Shea Cornett filling in for the guys this morning. Before we hear from Stephen A. Smith, because he had some things to say, a lot of things to say yesterday, let me just tell you some of the point guards that dominated free agency yesterday and where they went to. Kyle Lowry joined the Heat on a 3-year deal via a sign and trade with Toronto. The Heat are also working on a max extension for Jimmy Butler. We can talk more about that in a little bit. And they also reached an extension with Duncan Robinson. Chris Paul staying with the Suns on a 4-year deal could be worth up to $120 million, as agents are telling Woj. Mike Conley staying with the Jazz. And Lonzo Ball is heading to the Bulls on a 4-year deal, $85
million. Here comes your Bulls.
Ding, 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 ding. Trade from the Pelicans. Please, let's not get overly excited here. But I do like that the Bulls were in the headlines yesterday. Let's start, though, with the Heat and what they did with Kyle Lowry. And first, let's hear from Stephen A. Smith on why the Lowry move doesn't do much for him.
if he were with the Philadelphia 76ers, because you've got Embiid, if you were able to keep Ben Simmons while you still have him, the Tobias Harris's of the world and stuff like that, and he was added to that mix. His experience, his poise, his defensive tenacity, his fervor, he's from that area. I covered him. I actually covered him when I was writing for the Philadelphia Inquirer. This dude is a special player, no mistake about it. But in Miami, as they're presently constructed, I don't see him making that big of a deal in terms of, you know, just basically changing the course of their future in that regard. I don't see it.
Okay, so one, do you agree with Stephen A? And two, of the point guards that I listed and where they're going or where they're staying, I should say, which do you like the best?
Well, I mean, CP3, of course, is the obvious choice when you think about what he did to change the trajectory and the narrative of that team last year, unlocking DeAndre Ayton, being able to create some leadership. And I think he fits with that team the best. But I think if you talk about, you know, somebody that fits the profile, I mean, I like Kyle Lowry, and I like that they brought P.J. Tucker over, too, on a two-year deal. Mm-hmm. Now you look at that team that already was, you know, tough on the defensive end of the ball. Now they have guys that are straight dogs at every position. And, you know, that gives them Jimmy Butler another score, right? You know, you got Bam Adebayo. They lose, but they bring back Duncan Robinson. They lose Dragic. But it gives them a veteran that can come up and facilitate the offense, more of a natural point guard, as Jimmy's more of a shooting guard or he plays off the ball. And it gives somebody that can create and get them in the proper sets. They're clearly trying to go with toughness, tenacity, and veteran leadership. And that's what Kyle Lowry brings. I think he would have been better if he would have went to Philadelphia, because I thought it was just a natural fit. But, you know, I like the move. But it doesn't do too much for me, so I think CP3 was the best move out there, because it was the must, right? You talk about a team that was in the NBA Finals, that if they didn't retain Chris Paul, probably would be the fifth or sixth seed in the West.
Yeah, and him signing a four-year deal, man, that's what he wanted, some longevity there in Phoenix, and did he get it? 4 years. I thought three was a stretch. Four.
To the 40-burger.
Yeah.
Like, the 40-burger, how ironic is it, right, that a couple years ago, for them to be able to give 40-year-olds that type of contract, him and LeBron fought to kind of change the age limit so that they can offer it. It used to be 36 that you couldn't offer like more than a 3-year deal. They pushed for that to 38. So now, you know, Chris Paul is able to benefit from his own making. He was foreshadowing for the future.
Smart. Okay, first of all, going back to the Heat and Kyle Lowry and what that does for them. I'm not saying they're going to win a national championship. They're going to win a championship with that roster, but they will be a tough out. I mean, nonetheless, in terms of physicality and what you just said, you know, having some dogs on that team that no matter who you play, you're going to grind it out against, you know.
I mean, this was a team that was in the NBA Finals in the bubble 2 years ago. You know, it was stricken by COVID. Mm-hmm. You know, Pat Riley knows how to construct a team. Mm-hmm. You know, you think about Bam Adebayo. Now they have, you know, scoring at every position. They got Bam Adebayo, who's good at coming over the pick and roll. You know, he gives you that, you know, modern type of big. He doesn't shoot. You know, he's not shooting a three like some of the bigs. But it definitely makes them tough, right? They can grind you out, right? They can grind you out. Now, you talk about Kyle Lowry and how he, you know, puts his body at risk, taking charges, tough, you know, with the defense. You know, I think it puts them third in the East right now. I would get them third right behind Milwaukee. This puts them, because we don't know what the hell, you know, Philly's doing with Ben Simmons. So I would put them third, you know, right in front of Philadelphia.
Lonzo Ball to the Bulls. Bulls also get Alex Caruso, so they're making some moves. Look, Lonzo Ball helped the Pelicans team that was top five in fast break efficiency of both seasons that he was there. It's a three-point shooting league. We know this. Lonzo Ball improving his three-point shooting, it feels like, every single year. However, is that enough? Talk about the East. The Bulls maybe could be competitive, perhaps could make the playoffs, but doesn't do much, does it?
No, not at all. But you know, they had Vucevic last year, right? Yeah. And it just never really seemed to click. You gotta like Billy Donovan and what he's able to do, but also the fact that, you know, they're trying to build something, right? Caruso brings them like a guy that can, you know, defend very well, guy that can get the offense initiated. I think this is a process for them. I mean, how long has it been since we've really spoken about the Bulls? It really was the Earl Tom Thibodeau team. That's it. That's it, right?
You got it.
Okay, yeah. You know, you think about, you know, when they had Luol Deng, yep. Noah, Rose, and now they're trying to get back into the fray. Yeah, you know, this, but to me, this only, you know, puts them maybe at six, but this makes LaVine happy, right? As he says, he wants a contract that's respectable.
Right, and we'll ask Brian Windhorst more about that later because that was his report. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Get a Samsung Galaxy A32 5G for only $299, no contract. Straight Talk Wireless 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. Okay, training camp, busy time around the NFL front office. That's for sure. And it's no different for us here. We've got our GM to tell us what every team needs to be doing right now, including two Super Bowl contenders trying to manage early quarterback injuries. That's next after Bart has this from DoorDash.
DoorDash here with the summer of DoorPass. Right now, DoorPass members are taking $10 off groceries, alcohol, pet food, and more. Need a nightcap? $10 off. Got a cough? Get relief delivered for less. Want to surprise your crush? Send a gift and save. Try Dash Pass for free and get special savings, exclusive menu items, and $0 delivery fees year-round. Get more from your neighborhood now with Dash Pass in the DoorDash app. And stay cool out there. Terms and conditions apply.
Carson had an old foot injury. That was a broken foot sometime in high school that he did not know was broken. And then what happened the other day was just the right pressure at the right time, the right movement, that little broken bone that was in there that was lodged in, comes loose.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Well, if you're waking up in Indianapolis this morning, perhaps you are not the happiest person, right? Because yesterday was a day in terms of what is going on with the quarterback position. And who better to talk about this than Mike Tannenbaum, our ESPN NFL front office insider, former NFL executive, is here with us this morning. This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests will join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Good morning to you, Mike.
I got to swear him in first. Oh. You promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I promise to continue to overpay you.
Absolutely. Oh, overpay me with these takes because I want keeping it real goes wrong, Mike. I don't want the conservative one.
Well, I feel like one doesn't belong, and it's me. That's what's happening right now. Mike Tannenbaum is here giving us the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. All right, let's start with yesterday and what happened with the Indianapolis Colts. We now know that Carson Wentz has to have surgery. He's going to be out 5 to 12 weeks, it sounds like. First of all, this yesterday gave me like total Andrew Luck vibes before we even found out what the timetable was and that he needed surgery. Are you kind of feeling the same way about what's going on in Indianapolis?
Well, you know, he's a guy that's only played 16 games twice in his career. He's going to be 29 in December. Tom Brady's 44 today. And if the three of us were talking in March, guys, we would probably say it's more likely for Tom Brady to play in 17 games than Carson Wentz. And now that's even more true. And to me, it all lines up with, hey, should we go out and get Nick Foles? Nick Foles is going to make $4 million this year. It's about 2% of your salary cap. If you're Indianapolis, how can you not do that? I mean, things would have to go perfectly for him to be back in 5 weeks. And again, it bears repeating, he's only played a full season twice in his career.
Mm-hmm. And what about the pressure that it puts on Carson Wentz? When I listen to Frank Reich's statements, to me, it screams like, okay, well, as much as Carson Wentz can take, how much his pain tolerance is, he doesn't have to be 100% healthy or pain-free to play through this injury. Yeah. What do you worry about when you talk about his mental psyche, right? Because that was what we were talking about. You know, when you think about trying to come back too early, talk about pain shots, painkillers, all those things that we know that can put pressure on players because of the fear if they go 0-5 that the season is over with even before it starts.
Yeah, Bart, it's a great point. And take that a step further. The old Coach Parcells, you throw with your legs. He always talked about he wanted his quarterbacks to squat and clean. And I was around the all-time greats like people like Dan Marino, people like Vinny Testaverde. They're going to go to their graves being able to throw the ball, but it was lower body injuries. You know, Dan Marino had trouble with his feet, his ankles. Testaverde tore his Achilles. And what you worry about, and we've seen a little bit with Dak Prescott coming off of his injury, is can Carson Wentz, because we're talking again about a foot injury, you know, is that going to put any more additional strain on him? And again, when you look at these things, and we've studied for years, the number one prediction about injury in the future is past performance and past durability. And that would be a massive concern. And let's give San Francisco credit. Jimmy Garoppolo hasn't been durable. What do? They go out and get Trey Lance.
Yeah.
If I'm the Colts, right. Yeah, exactly. Go pay the bill. Mm-hmm. Go get somebody like Nick Foles. And to your point, Bart, with all those things you're talking about, like now you're giving yourself a little margin for error.
Right.
Right. Okay, we're talking to Mike Tannenbaum right now, ESPN NFL front office insider. He's joining us here in studio on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Shea Cornett, Bart Scott, filling in for the guys this morning. Okay, let's just call it what it is. While he was in Philadelphia, Carson Wentz missed 17 total games. I mean, he was on the bench for the Super Bowl run, the playoffs, a lot of important games while he was in Philadelphia. And so now the timetable is 5 to 12 weeks. We know he's injury prone. Now you call, what'd you call him, the glass man?
No, Mr. Glass. He's Samuel Jackson off Unbreakable.
Mr. Glass earlier.
So
if you're looking at a 5 to 12 week span, like what does that tell you about Carson Wentz? You're leaning towards the later half, the earlier half, it's wait and see. Like what are you thinking if you're the GM of the Colts?
Well, again, I think we have to recalibrate ourselves. We're talking about an 18-week marathon. We're talking about 17 games.
Right.
So again, we can talk about Dak Prescott. We certainly can talk about Carson Wentz here, but this is a long way to go, and I want to know that Carson Wentz is ready for the stretch run more so than just opening day. And that's, again, unfortunately, I've been there. Ryan Tannehill had a season-ending preseason injury, non-contact play towards ACL. We had to go get Jay Cutler out of the Fox booth because he knew Adam Gase's offense.
Right.
You're sitting with a third stringer in Nick Foles, who knows Frank Reich's offense, for $4 million. I don't see any reason, if I'm the Colts, even if you like Jacob Eason, that's great. But again, we're talking about a 17-game regular season. Why would you not go get insurance that, to me, is appropriate, knows the system, and there's real value there?
Right. That sure beats throwing $10 million at Phillip Rivers, correct? So, I mean, where do you go? Do you go with Phillip Rivers or do you go? Yeah. I mean, because really, what at this point, we know Nick Foles is probably on the cusp of maybe potentially being one of the last cuts, unless they want to do him a favor and cut him early so he can find another job, because he would be one of the best backups in the league. What do you think the price tag it is for Indianapolis to go out and get a guy like Nick Foles, 6th, 7th round pick?
Yeah, and maybe I do a conditional pick where, like, hey, if he plays more than half the games or we go to the playoffs and he's playing, maybe that bumps up to a 3rd or 4th round pick, which, by the way, if you're the Colts, you would do backflips to pay that pick. So there's a trade to be made there. And look, if you're the Bears, your future is Justin Fields. You have a nice backup in Andy Dalton. So, like, to me, there's a win-win there. And the other thing, too, and as a GM, this always keeps you up at night, is if you're going to trade a quarterback, you like to trade him out of conference. So if Nick Foles goes on fire like he did a couple of years ago, you want him out of the conference.
All right, let's switch gears and let's go to something else we were talking a lot about yesterday. And I'm going to relate this back to you. Again, we're talking to Mike Tannenbaum right now, ESPN NFL front office insider. So the Browns went out and they paid Nick Chubb, right? And so they did this before they paid Baker Mayfield, their quarterback. I remember you saying when they paid Ezekiel Elliott before they played Dak Prescott that this was kind of sending a weird message. Do you get the same sort of feeling about the Browns and what their decision was?
Well, it was the same message I had to Rex Ryan. If we're going to pay Bart Scott, we got to leave enough money to get signed David Harris.
So
we've had those conversations before. Fortunately, we were able to do that, and Bart and David did a lot of good things together. In all seriousness, I think the situation is a little bit different because I think what's interesting to me is when you look at Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and Baker Mayfield, all three are eligible for extensions, and none of them have signed. To me, that's a little bit more than a coincidence.
Yeah.
So I think one of the axioms that applies here, Shea, is as a GM, let's apply time and effort into problems we can solve, which is, hey, we got some really good players here. Denzel Ward, Nick Chubb. And I know the whole axiom, like, do you have to pay running backs? You got Kareem Hunt. But Nick Chubb's a really good player. I thought that deal was good value for Cleveland. Mm-hmm. So I think the situation is a little bit different. My concern with Zeke Elliott was he held out. He was in Mexico. He had 3 years to go, and you have a franchise quarterback in Dak Prescott. I thought that was a little bit tone deaf. I thought that sent the wrong message for the wrong reasons, that a guy's holding out with 3 years. He didn't have 3 years. He had one more year, and they could have franchised him because they had exercised the option. I think this situation is slightly different.
You know, for me, what it tells me is that they're not too sure that Baker Mayfield is the guy. Right? It took him to get one of everything. Two of everything. He has two great offensive linemen, two great running backs, two great receivers, two great tight ends. And
a great defense.
To your point, and I totally agree with you, he's the most interchangeable quarterback in the league. You can go on every team in the NFL almost and say, okay, if we put that starting quarterback behind this type of roster, would they be who Baker Mayfield is? And my answer is almost yes. They would arguably be better. But out of the three guys that we mentioned, which one of these guys gets done first, and which one is the one that you would pay first?
Yeah, well, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, or Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, I think it has to be Josh Allen because I think he has the highest upside. I love Lamar. My only concern about Lamar from a GM perspective is the ball's in his hands so much. Like, can he get through the contract? Now, with that said, Josh Allen was hurt at Wyoming. He's also a big contact player. And I think you guys make an interesting point, which is context is everything. If we said, hey, we could have Baker Mayfield and Nick Chubb and Denzel Ward and Myles Garrett and all the other great players Cleveland has, great. We'll pay you $25 to $28 million. If you said, hey, we got to pay Baker Mayfield $40, $42 million, and those other guys are going to graduate,
lose,
Bart,
yeah.
Let him go. We'll go get somebody else we can win with.
Right. What? I mean, because you can tell we spent a lot of time together.
You guys are just like spewing this, like rolling it. Like, this is like information that I don't think everyone would agree with. I mean, you clearly know football far better than me, but to just say you could plug and play a quarterback after Baker Mayfield had a semi-successful season.
But Shay, if you were running a team and I said that, Austin Court, Wyatt Teller, Denzel Ward, they already played Myles Garrett.
Yeah.
Nick Chubb, we're all going to graduate, and you're going to overpay a guy that was short and slow. I wouldn't do that.
I get it. It's just like he's finally had a very successful year in Cleveland, and then now we're like, well, we could plug and play someone else.
He was
the number one overall pick.
I mean, I wish we can play this game because when you play a player that type of money, I mean, you got to go say, which teammate do you want to cut, right? I mean, you look at, yesterday, I mean, I knew that the reason why the Ravens didn't sign Judon is because they knew they had to pay Lamar Jackson, so they had to get a wily veteran like they did with Elvis Dumervil when they had to pay, like, Joe Flacco. So that's why they went out and got Houston, because they have to get a rental, because they have to tell Lamar Jackson that you have to be good enough for yourself, but also to replace that player. Right. We saw this happen with Russell Wilson when the Legion of Boom left. He had to prove that he can carry a team because when you get paid that type of money, eventually you're going to cut some of your teammates. But I would love to play this game. Like, we can go down the list and we can say, OK, if we put this quarterback there, would the Cleveland Browns be better? Kyler Murray, better. Lamar Jackson, better. Even Matty Ice, better. Josh Allen, better. Sam Darnold, I think it could be a push. Joe Burrow, better. Right,
you're pointing out all the good quarterbacks.
I'm just going down the list in order. Dak Prescott, better.
Shay, not to gang up on you, but another way to say it.
I can handle it.
If we were drafting the AFC quarterbacks, I had Baker eighth. Now, you could argue maybe he's sixth, but he's not better than Patrick Mahomes.
He's third in his division.
Yeah,
in his conference.
I totally agree. I'm just saying, if you look at the conference, he's somewhere between sixth and eighth. And if the three of us were running a franchise, would we be high-fiving ourselves saying, like, hey, we just signed the sixth best running back. Hey, we just signed the sixth best. Like, yeah. No, we're trying to build a championship. And it starts at the quarterback position.
Yeah.
Like, do we want to chase perfection and greatness with the sixth best of anything?
Okay. Valid points by both of you. I was just playing devil's advocate.
I'm glad you came today because yesterday I said the same thing. She looked at me like I was crazy.
Now, don't
do
that.
She looked at me now with these two eyes, her third eye. She was like hurting me with her chakra.
That is not true. You surprised me when you said it, as did Mike Tannenbaum when he just said it to me as well. And so I just wanted to revisit it. That's all I'm saying. You're both, I understand where you're coming from.
She looked through me with her chakra. I could feel her chi looking through me like Kung Fu Panda.
You're insane. All right. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin is presented by Progressive Insurance. You can save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit progressive.com.
Can we ask the Cleveland fans to call in and tell me who in the NFL out of the starting 32 that Baker would be better than? Because, I mean, I would argue that Goff, Dak, of course, Watson, of course, A-Ron. You know, maybe Carson Wentz would be healthy, but Stafford, right?
All right, we get it. Wait. We get
Cousins.
The point.
Can I bring in one other dimension to this? Like, why not just hit pause? He's under contract next year.
Damn.
And by the way, if he turns out to be great, if he's Drew Brees, which, let's face it, he could be, we could franchise him the year after. So we have him this year, next year, and the year after. And again, if we're just sitting there and looking at all these other players that they have, they've done a great job of assembling a lot of good players. That would be my biggest concern. And he's going nowhere.
Carr, Herbert.
Okay. All right. We get it, everyone. Let's stop piling on Baker and let's move on. We're going to play a game called Back in the Front Office.
Woo.
Okay. So here's what we're going to do, Mike. You're going to play the role of the following GMs. Okay. And by the way, we're joined right now by Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN NFL Front Office Insider. He's also a former NFL executive here at ESPN. This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin presented by Progressive Insurance. Bart Scott, Shake Cornett here filling in for the guys. So again, back in the front office, you're playing the role of GM for the respective teams. I'm going to give it to you and give you the scenario. You're going to tell me what you're going to do. Okay.
Let's go.
Here we go. Jerry Jones, Cowboys owner, GM, president, all of the following. Do you play Dak Prescott during the preseason?
No, he's just too valuable. And we already saw like how the margins here are so small. We got to get him ready to go. Look, we may have some contact practices. We may script some things that give him difficult looks in terms of 7-on-7 team periods, but there's no way I could put him at risk. He's just way too valuable to this franchise. By the way, being Jerry Jones, it's nice to have that boat, just for the record.
Yeah, absolutely.
Boat, plane, all of it.
Way to go, David.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. All right, here we go. What should the Raiders do with Marcus Mariota?
Well, that's interesting. You know, I'm not the biggest Derek Carr fan. I would keep him because at some point, you know, we talked earlier, like, Derek Carr is at best the third best quarterback in that division behind Herbert and Mahomes. So you want depth there, 17-game season, I hold on to Mariota.
Okay, Andrew Berry, Browns GM. I was going to go all in on Derek Carr not getting enough credit, but you know what? I've already played this game, so I'm not going to do that. Let's go to the Browns. Why not? Andrew Berry, do you sign Baker Mayfield to an extension now that Nick Chubb is signed?
Again, I would try, but I would pump the brakes at about $28 million because, again, I want to make sure we could keep as much of the core as possible. Yep. Baker Mayfield's a good player. Make no mistake about it. I don't think he's a great player. I agree with Bart. He's replaceable. And, again, he's somewhere between the sixth and eighth best quarterback in his conference.
Mm. Go ahead, Bart.
The truth hurts, Shay Shay. I told him to tell the truth and nothing but the truth.
Go ahead. You got
so
the
help
49ers.
Me, Lombardi. Okay, here 49ers. We go. Who's the starting quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers? Would you go with Jimmy G or Trey Lance?
I'm going Jimmy G on day one. San Francisco missed more games last year than any other team in terms of defensive stars. This is a really good football team. They have a chance to really make some noise this year. At some point, the baton will be tossed, but Jimmy G is a productive quarterback when healthy.
Okay, let's go to the Broncos. You are now the Broncos GM. Who is starting week one, Drew Lock or Teddy Bridgewater? And I hope we agree on this, Mike.
I'm a big Teddy Bridgewater guy.
Yes, finally.
And look, they have a great defense. He could get the ball down the field. And, you know, Drew Lock to me is an interesting player. He could have played basketball in college. I think he's a good athlete. But this is a team, because of their defense, I'm going to go with Teddy Bridgewater.
All righty. Last and final one, Uncle TB. What do you got? What would it take for you to trade Deshaun Watson before the season? What you need? How many picks? Players?
Well, if I'm Houston, I would try to get at least two, maybe three first-round picks. I think the real challenge here is, given the complexity of the situation, There's a pending, obviously, criminal situation. And we got to remember, in 2010, Roger Goodell suspended Ben Roethlisberger for 6 games despite having no criminal charges. So we got to remember that even if the criminal situation gets resolved, and that's a big if, the standard is lower. He could be suspended. So if you're another team who needs a quarterback, I think it'd be very difficult to give up a lot of draft capital knowing that his eligibility is in question.
But with him being 5 years still on a contract, you would do that in a heartbeat knowing that you may not have him this year. You'll have him next year.
But, Bart, we would have to go sit down with our owner and explain the situation and understand that we have a long-term situation. You know, it could be someone like a Pete Carroll, a Mike Tomlin, someone that has sort of a lot of equity in the situation. If you're a coach that's more year-to-year, that would be a very difficult thing to do.
Can I ask a question, though, staying with Nick Caserio, the Texans GM here, in terms of what they're going to do with Deshaun Watson? It sounds like he's not in pads. Like, he's out there, obviously, with his team practicing in shorts and things, but not in pads practicing. Do you think they're handling this situation? Like, I know this is a loaded question. I totally understand that, Mike, but in terms of just, like, being careful with how they're using him because he might be traded. Take what's going on off the field away a little bit, but do you think they're handling that properly?
Not completely. I just don't know, having him around right now, who's benefiting from that. Like, this is one of those situations where, you know, Bart, as you all know, you want to treat everyone fairly but not consistently.
Yeah. Right.
This is one of those, like, hey, go home, stay in great shape. We got a lot to work through.
Yeah.
To have him out there playing safety, you know, on walkthroughs, I don't know who that's benefiting. And if you're the head coach, you're David Culley, you've worked your whole career, you're trying to establish yourself. They can win with Tyrod Taylor. Like, he's a competent NFL quarterback. So having Deshaun Watson there right now, I just don't know what purpose that's serving.
I could not agree with you more. Very well said. I'm going to keep going here. I know you keep said going, last no. one. I'm going to
keep going.
Brian Gutekunst, Packers GM here. That's who you're going to be, Mike Tannenbaum. What player would you sign next to keep Aaron Rodgers happy?
Whoever he said to.
What a good answer. And no, then, go ahead.
No, I would just, obviously, you know, Devontae Adams, like, he's one of, you could say, the top three, whatever. He's a great player. When you're a GM and you hit on somebody like him who's a great player, great person, great teammate, you can't overpay those guys because everyone in the locker room is saying, like, if you don't pay him, who are you going to pay? Yeah. So get that done at ASAP.
So tell me this. Are you going to play Jordan Love every game to display him so you can try and get maybe recoup maybe a fourth-round draft pick or something like that so that people can see if he can play or not?
In the preseason.
Yeah, absolutely. And here's the other thing. We got to remember, in fairness to him, players like Tua, last year, weird offseason, pandemic, you had to get your starter ready. Yeah. Jordan Love didn't get a lot of reps, so he needs every rep for developmental purposes. And from a trade standpoint, and something else, ironically, a decade ago when we traded for Brett Favre, they had seen enough of Aaron Rodgers to get him on the field. If I'm Green Bay, it's going to help me define how badly we need Aaron Rodgers, as weird as that is to say. But what happens if Jordan Love plays great? Now all of a sudden, like, you take a deep breath and say, you know what? If we could get 3 number 1 picks for Aaron Rodgers, maybe that's something we consider because we have a great young player in Jordan Love. Oh. And that factors into your decision-making. I remember when we were negotiating with the Packers, again, a decade ago, guys, they were very confident, and they were right, obviously, about Aaron Rodgers to let Favre walk out the door.
I can't go through this song.
So John Coon next. You're John Coon coming back.
Quickly, because, you know, our producer's been a little feisty this morning, so we got to keep him happy.
Little nugget, man.
Let's do Joe Douglas, the Jets GM. What veteran quarterback are you bringing in?
Well, I'm trying to beat Indy to Nick Foles. Again, Nick Foles is a great guy. He's won a Super Bowl. I think sometimes we overcomplicate things. There was a lot of great players around him in Philly, but great guy, great teammate. And if I'm Zach Wilson, that quarterback room, Bart, you know, is so important. I would sign Nick Foles. I would trade for him and sign him to an extension. We've seen the guys like Andy Dalton, the Josh McCowns, Tyrod Taylor. They're around for a reason.
Mike Lennon.
They're high-character guys. Get somebody to pair with Kyle Wilson for the next couple of years.
Interestingly enough, Nick Foles says he wants to go somewhere familiar, right? So obviously the Colts and Frank Wright, Joe Douglas, and him are familiar with one another from their time in Philly as well.
Shay, that bothered me. You're a player under contract. If you're traded, you'll go to that team. That's why you signed a contract.
Yeah.
That's very true. Don't forget.
He stuck up a couple of organizations now. Remember, he's still getting paid by Jacksonville. Yeah. Way to get him, Raymond.
The bottom line is, everywhere he's gone, basically, besides when he was with the Eagles, he hasn't played well. So let's see what happens at his next stop. Don't forget, the college football season starts this month, and we're looking ahead to the college football season in primetime tonight on ESPN. At 7 Eastern, we'll unveil the ESPN Experts Preseason Top 25 in College Football 2021, the Power Rankings. That's at 8. And then at 8, rather, it's a look at the games that will have the biggest impact this fall on College Football Live. Schedule breakdown, as always, both shows are available on your ESPN app. Okay, Mike Tannenbaum, thank you so much this morning. This was fun playing some games. I know you're here more this week, so we will look forward to that. Are you okay over there?
Yeah,
you guys
yeah.
got everything out? You both ganged up on me, but I'm going to get over it here in the next break.
Is she going to put on her Cleveland Brown hat during the break?
One quarterback is saying greatness doesn't happen overnight, but will his fan base be that patient? That's next here on KJZ.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.